Silence and solitude, they're different things. Today I'm not going to really tell you necessarily how to do it because silence is pretty self-explanatory. Being silent before God, it's also a heart, it's a place of the heart. So silence is that as well. Solitude can be a place of the heart as well, but it's not always a place. We're not necessarily talking about a place. We can talk about the solitude of our heart where we're just, you know, at one with God and all that kind of stuff. But solitude, do you have a physical place of solitude? But what I'm really going to talk to you about today is the benefits of it, of solitude. So we all value vacations, correct? How many are like, vacation? Psh, I don't want to go. I don't want to go and rest and lay by the beach. That's horrible. Who does that? Nobody says that. There are a lot of people that camp. I don't like dirt, so I don't camp. But you may love it, and good for you. I'm glad there's people that like to be in the dirt, and you may love it. That may be a solitude place for you, a great place living off the land. I've always joked about how I'm a great hunter. I hunt my meat in the Costco meat aisle, and I've never come away empty-handed. I'll tell you that right now. You can bug my father-in-law when he gets back from his whirlwind European tour. You can ask him how he's doing bow hunting, because I don't think I've seen an animal come back from his bow hunts. I think he's going for solitude. We'll delete that from the recording, so don't worry about me getting in trouble there. So, yeah, so we just live such a busy life, and nobody ever doesn't want to go away and get some rest. We always want to go on vacation. We always want to go somewhere, experience new things, but we do want to go and be quiet and be still. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I go away on vacation, we're busy and we're doing lots. I mean, it's fantastic, it's fun, it's great, but we're busy. Do you take the time to just wait? That's vacation. That's purposeful. But solitude before God and silence before God is completely different. It's a different thing. And and when we're talking about disciplines here, Christian spiritual disciplines, these are things that you do. You have to actually physically do some of them. The problem is we tend to, for lack of better word, try to weird it out. And it's not weird. It's good for you. These things are good for you. Prayer, fasting, all that stuff is good for you. It's been proven time and time again. Silence. Quiet your mind. How many have an overactive brain? How many, your mind just doesn't stop going? Yeah, exactly, right? Things are going, things are moving. We've been trained to do this by society, first of all, but also with the pressures of life, everything we're doing, we just get so much stuff in our head and we can't turn off. You ever put your head down on the pillow and went, why? I was so tired before I got here. I laid my head down on the pillow and I can't sleep. Don't count sheep. Sheep are weird. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've tried to count. I'm like, I got to focus on counting. I don't want to count. I just want to sleep. Some of it can be, you know, hormonal. Some of it can be that time of your life in general, age, all that kind of stuff. Some of it can be stress, but we need to quiet ourselves down. A lot of times, though, it's because of our lifestyle. We're busy, we're go, go, go. Well, I want to talk to you today about solitude and silence, and I want to talk to you a little bit today about Jesus, give quick examples of him just briefly, and then I want to talk to you about the benefits of that in your Christian walk. You see, we don't always like silence and solitude, and the reason why I made it quiet in here so we could just, because some of you, now I'm not saying all of you, but some of you would feel strange because nothing's happening. Our generation, especially my generation, was brought up first with video games, and it started there, and then go back another in TV, and things are moving all the time, right? It's flashing, things are happening, and we're just used to being programmed to things moving quickly. And nowadays, there's a great book called The World is Flat, and it talks a lot about communication and how basically you can do anything within minutes, seconds. And what we have realized is that things are moving so quickly by the time. Why do you think iPhone's coming out with all these iPhones? Why do you think that Samsung and all these computers, you bought your computer 6 months ago and already they're like a cooler one out that does way cooler things. Well, they already had that stuff. Things are just moving. We're used to it. We want fast food. We want our lattes quick. We want everything fast. Now, actually, I wanted it yesterday, so can you just speed this thing up a little bit? Meanwhile, people are running around like chickens with their head cut off trying to figure out and get some organization in the chaos. And then you're too tired to go and be quiet and listen. Because it does take some effort. It's not just turning your brain off. I tend to, when I watch a movie, I know a lot of people are into movies and other people have other opinions on movies, but when I go to a movie, I really do not want something that's going to make me think. I think enough. I want to numb my brain. So it needs to be just nonsense. I don't want a plot. People come out and say, well, there wasn't much of a plot on that. And I'm like, plot? Really? I went in with really low expectations, and they provided me just that. Low expectations. You know, keep them low. You'll be surprised all the time, really. And you can take that anywhere you want in life. Just keep low expectations. But honestly, I just want something to turn my brain off because it's always moving. Silence and solitude, you need to do it. We need to do it with purpose and with meaning. And so we get so busy, we forget that we need to actually listen to God. How many know that listening is difficult? Have you ever had a conversation? You walk in and you say, hi, how are you today? Well, I'm great. And they just keep going. And you're trying to find, you know, you want to, a lot of people want to share about their own lives, but there's no space, there's no gap. And they just keep talking and talking, and you have to listen to follow it. You got to be on, right? Because if all of a sudden they say, hey, here's a question, and you haven't been paying attention, how do you feel? The reason why you weren't paying attention was because you're a bad listener. It's just that simple. You just stop listening because you got exhausted. Because listening takes effort. There's been many times I get a kick under a table from Michelle saying, you faded out. Not because the person is boring. It has nothing to do with that. It's attention span. Minimal. Minimal. So it takes work for me to focus. I can hear something. Ask anybody that's ever had a conversation with me within a two-hour period. You can say something to me, and they'll say, so how did that thing go the other day? They're like, we just had like a five-minute conversation on that. And I'm like, you know, I was here. It's just one of those things where you have to actively listen. And if you're distracted, if you're busy, if you're tired, these things will do that to you. So when I listen, I have to be very focused on what's being said. And then I also have learned some tricks on associating what we're talking about with other things. If I hear a name, you know, never be offended if I've forgotten your name. Never, never, okay? Because it doesn't mean I don't know who you are. It means right now I'm oblivious, like I'm just lost. It happens. It does. I don't know if you've ever been there, but have some sympathy and pity for me with my memory. But we get so busy, these things happen. I find when I have rest and when I have solitude and silence and I pray and I fast and I do those things, my mind is crystal clear. And science, health science has proven sleep, rest, all that stuff, solitude, and sometimes silence will quieten everything down, and then you're able to focus better. So we have science on our side, but God also calls us to do this. So that's impressive, because a lot of people think Christians don't believe in science. I'm going to leave that for another time. But we all have demands in our lives, and I'm going to show you that Jesus, in Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, it says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. We're not worried about whether or not he was hungry or not. What we're talking about is he had to get away. He went away into the wilderness by himself. You see, the problem with solitude and silence is that it's intimidating. Silence and solitude makes you feel vulnerable. How many people like to feel vulnerable? Not too many. It's like, oh yeah, that's one of my number one giftings. I'm vulnerable. Nobody brags about being vulnerable. Silence out of that is also it's immediately related to trust. If you can be silent, around someone, you can trust them. You'll notice that a lot of people will talk to fill air because they don't want anyone to ask them any questions. Or it's not they're purposely doing this. It's just a trust issue. So when we feel vulnerable and we can't be silent, it's a trust issue. And we have God on our side. Do we trust him? Do you trust him? Can you be silent for him to speak to you, to say the things of importance to you in your life that you need to work on, that you need to change, that you need to be better at? Because if you're always busy, God's not able to get through to you because you're always busy and your mind's racing. And so you can't be vulnerable. So many people are busy, so they're not vulnerable because they have trust issues with either God. And you can take that into relationships. And so here we have a problem that we boil down to trust. It's plain and simple, trust. Do we trust? Trust is something that you have to physically do for someone. You have to decide, I trust this person, whether it's in your relationships personally, whether it's with God. Do I trust them enough? We've all been let down, correct? Somebody has broken your trust. And it seems hard to build back. But part of that is you forgiving and the other person forgiving themselves. There's a lot going on there, but it's all active. It's not just waiting for time and space to come together. You have to actively do it. And it may take every day, it may take every minute, every second of your life for the next 10 years for you to gain that trust or have trust in others. But you continue to work on it. And that's with God. Has God let you down? Maybe he has. In your mind? Because he didn't do what you wanted. Well, that's a whole other ball of wax where we talk about being spoiled spiritually and it's all about me. Religion has done such a great job. Christianity has done such a great job of turning Christianity all about me and all about individuals. It's like, what's God doing for me lately? Well, he loves you, he cares for you, he died for you, but he didn't just die for you. He died for the person next to you. He died for the person that's homeless. He died for the person behind the counter, the waitress. He died for everyone. There's a bigger picture. And when you see a bigger picture, you start to realize, I'm not such a big deal anymore. And when you come to that understanding, you start to do things in your life that aren't just about you. They're about others. Again, it comes back to trust. And so let's look at what Jesus did, just a few things that he did, and then we'll get into the benefits of this. So he went into solitude at the beginning of his ministry, Matthew 4, 1-8. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Right? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. When God calls you to do something, when God calls you to ministry, to actually minister to someone else, are you taking the time out from your life like Jesus did to seek direction without distraction? Without distraction. There's many different ways we can help kind of clear our minds, and you're going to be different from the person next to you, but you need to find those ways that will help you clear your mind so that you can go and have that silence and have that solitude. So when God is asking you to do something, first you have to ask yourself the question, is it about you? Is it your issue? Or is God actually talking to you to do it? Are you just hurt? Are you insecure? Is it a trust issue? You have to ask these questions. And the only way to get clarity and away from everybody else is to go into solitude. Find a place where you don't have any distraction, no noises, nothing, and be silent with him. Jesus did it. When you have to make an important decision, there's many decisions in our lives. I mean, I can name off a whole bunch from, you know, your career, to your house, to financial, to this, to that, relationships, all that. When you have to make those types of decisions, you need to set aside the time for silence and solitude. Luke 6:12-13, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. It doesn't matter that he designated apostles. He had a major decision he had to make, and he had to go figure that out, and he went away, and he did that. In a time of major decisions in your life, are you getting away from your responsibilities of regular everyday life and asking God for that direction? Jesus also found solitude at the time of a death of someone he knew. Matthew 14, 12 to 13. John's disciples came back and took his body of John the Baptist, we're talking about, and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. In death, that is a very good time for you to step aside and clear your mind and be solitude and silent before God. You know that when things happen in life and people pass away, I know many people that are afraid to go to funerals. It makes them think about their own mortality. When many people are close to retirement, they think about their own mortality. When people have passed away around you, you think about your own mortality. You think about what choices you've made, your family, all that kind of stuff. You start to think about those things. And the only way in order for you to clear your mind and get your head around it is to go away, be silent, and get away from all the noise. There's also emotional things that happen, obviously. You got to get your mind back to thinking logically. When you're in grief, emotions take over all of your thoughts. And at that time, you make very poor decisions. And until you can get to the point where you're making logical decisions with thought, you don't make any decisions. And you wait until you come out of that. But you need that silence and solitude. You got to get away in order to get through those emotions that you're living. Those emotions are real and they're good. But you can't stay there. You can never stay there. When my mom passed away, I couldn't put a sentence together that made any sense in my head. It was unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like that before. And for me, it was a learning experience beyond anything that she gave me, but it made me grow in so many different ways, how I process things, how I think. But for about 4 weeks, I was oblivious to it. It was unbelievable, the distraction in my head and the could not comprehend what anybody said. I would stumble on words. I couldn't find a word to describe any. It really messed with my head. And I had to take the time to get that out. That's why you're given time to mourn. And we're going to talk about a scripture that talks about different times in life. These are all important things that we need to look at, important life experiences that we need to take from and learn from. Jesus is showing us in these times, set aside silence and solitude. It's not strange. It's not like being a monk and saying, I'm not going to speak for 100 years, and you go off to nowhere and go away, and that's the end of it. You're forgotten, you forget, and you're gone. That's an extreme case, and that's people looking for enlightenment and all this other stuff that they're not going to find just by not speaking and not talking and hiding away from the whole world. Maybe that might be a nice idea, but after a while, it's gonna mess with you. So Jesus had a balance. And there's times that we need to take away from just the plain demands of life, and a lot of us call it vacation, but it has to be separate. It has to be different from that. I like to call them retreats. You get away for a couple days, and all you do is I read scripture, I pray, I relax. There's just a lot of that going, a lot of thinking, a lot of walking in wilderness. Of course, I don't get dirty or camp, but I'm walking around it. I can see it and appreciate it. Because God is good, and I appreciate everything he created. I just don't want to roll around in it. So I find it, the daily pressures of life, if you're really busy, if you got a lot on your plate, if things are happening, you really need to take some time and just ask God for direction, even in your own life, work those things. And the silence we did before communion was hopefully something where you took and you went, oh, I should focus on God here. I didn't tell you to do that because I wanted you to look back if you didn't go, oh, yeah, I should have done that. So that the next time you go, this is where I do it. This is when I can do it. So the demands of life are another spot where we need to take our time aside and do that. So let's read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. I'm going to read it for you. It says this. It says, there is a time for everything. You all know this. And a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak. I just want to talk about this one briefly. Romans chapter 3 talks about the tongue, and I just want to say to you that control is the key in being silent. There's a difference between speaking up just to speak up and be quiet just to be quiet. There comes a time when you may have to speak up. And there comes a time when you should just be silent. And that's just in life in general. But James chapter 3 talks about controlling the tongue. It's all about control. And where does that start? In disciplines. Things you do every day. Those that are not in control of their tongue are not in control of their tongue. And they will continue daily to not be in control of their tongue. And we have to work on those things. So a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. This scripture is illustrating that life is full of ups and downs. And without God's help, how are we going to be able to deal with all of this? How are we going to be able to deal with all of this? My question to you this morning is, are you ready? Have you built a relationship with God that will help you withstand the storms of life? Because I'm here to tell you, if you haven't noticed in your life already, there are storms. There are troubles. There are problems. There are issues. Whatever you want to call them, we Christianize them up and turn them into nautical terms. We call them storms because Scripture uses that a lot. What I'm here to tell you today is sometimes life just stinks. And sometimes it's really good. But there's not too many people where life is like this, just flat. There's ups and downs. You may think your life is just going along like this, but I promise you, no, that's not true. There will be ups and downs. There'll be big valleys, there'll be little valleys, but there'll be big mountains. And there'll be little mountains. Things that you've accomplished, things that you've done, things that God has walked you through. Those are positive things. But are you ready to withstand the roller coaster? How many love roller coasters? I know someone for sure, yes. Roller coasters. How many love going up the hill? How many love at the top of the hill? How many love going down the hill? That's where it hits you, though, right? Think about a roller coaster you've been on. You're going up, and it's like, oh, this feels pretty good. I'm going up the mountain. It feels really good. If you've been to Disneyland or anyone, even the old wooden one at the P&E. Is that thing even still around? Death trap. But anyways, you go up that thing and it's like, and you're like, this is old school. This has got to be good. This thing has got to be solid. You're seeing bolts moving and everything. Whatever. It's got to be fine. You get up to the top and you're like, oh, look at the view. And then you go down. Yes, it's exciting, but it's probably the, for lack of a better word, most intense or worst part. Not worse if you're into adrenaline, but that's when everything happens. Going up is no big deal. I can go up a hill. The journey's great. When I get to the peak, it's even better. It's like, this is awesome. But when I go down that hill, that's when it gets intense. And it can be good for you or it can be bad for you. It all just depends on how you perceive what's happening. I don't know if you've seen online, there's this There was this, it's a roller coaster, and I think it does a bunch of loops, but they had a video camera of this guy, and there's a girl and a guy, and as they're going up the hill, they're like, okay, the one, you can tell this guy should not be on this roller coaster. He is losing his mind. And then he gets to the top, and he goes flying down the hill, passes out. Just passes right out. That's not fun. How fun is that? He doesn't even know what's going on, but the fear and probably G-force and, you know, physics comes into play, throw in a little bit of biology, and his blood pressure drops and he passes out. But that's what some of us do. We blank out during those down times in life. We black out. We don't learn anything. And when we hit the valley, guess what? There's another hill to climb. And so in life, where are you at? Are you ready to handle those things? Jesus uses silence and solitude as a means to help him be ready for whatever's going to come. And so I'm going to give you three quickly benefits of silence and solitude. Number one is we will receive strength from God when we have silence. I don't know if you've ever done this. If you haven't, you need to do it. When you go away and come back, you feel refreshed, like you've accomplish something at the same time as you've been relaxed. God has spoken to you. There's times that he doesn't necessarily speak, but it's just that you were away, you were listening, you were appreciating. We always go away, and when I first started on ministry, everybody would be like, go away, get God to tell you something. And then I'd be like, well, what if he just wants to tell you to go and be quiet? What if he just wants to tell you nothing except to worship him? And appreciate him. Again, it's about your perspective. It's about, is it always about you or is it about everyone? So you need to put it into perspective. Psalms chapter 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. When you seek him, reading scripture, taking that time. Psalms 37, 39. The Lord is the Savior of the upright. He is their strength in times of trouble. When you are walking through a valley, God is walking with you. They're holding you up, helping you through those tough times. And so when these times come, I really want to have the strength of God behind me to get through them. Quiet time alone will strengthen you. The second benefit is you will begin to have a trust in God. And this is if you forget everything I've said today, trust him. Work on trusting him. That's the biggest thing. Work on trusting people in your relationships. I find that most people aren't out to get you. I think most people are just so self-absorbed, they forget everybody else is around. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because we just get so self-focused. Because society and our lives have just done that to us. But learn to trust others. Obviously be wise, but learn to trust others. Learn, most importantly, to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. I have learned to trust in him. He's always been faithful, even though I've not been perfect. And in every relationship, I believe you have to have a certain amount of trust. You have to give it, and you have to also receive it. And I'm here to tell you that when I give my trust to him, he's never let me down. It may not be the way I want it to go. It may not be the way that I've figured out in my mind. How many like planning their life out in perfect sequence and it should just flow naturally and God's going to just do that for you, right? And then all of a sudden, there's a rock thrown in the cogs that are turning and jams them up a little bit and slows you down. Well, that's okay. Because if he has our full trust, then I'm going to just figure out what he wants or wait. Let the cog stop turning for a little bit. So you will never be disappointed in him. Spend quality time alone with him in solitude. And that has built people's faith before us. And it will continue to build others' faith after we have gone. And thirdly, the third benefit is you will begin to have a deeper relationship with God that you've never been able to experience. Setting aside time to be alone with Him, quality time to be alone with God, will deepen your relationship with Him. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is always looking for that invitation for you to ask Him to be with. I mean, He's here, He's with you all the time, but He's waiting for you to acknowledge. And so He's always got that invitation out. Hey, I'm here. What's the scripture? I stand at the door and knock. That's not just for people who don't believe in Him. That's for people who believe in Him but are not listening. So are you listening? He's always looking for a reason. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Religion is exhausting because you have to do things in religion. But in a relationship, you want to do those things. Where are you at right now? Are you being religious? Maybe you don't have any of that. Or do you have a relationship where God is saying, come, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him. Have you heard God's invitation to you? Have you answered it? Have you heard Him saying, meet me in solitude and silence? I'm here to encourage you today. Seek Him in solitude and silence. His invitation is for you. Set some time alone this week. Doesn't have to be a lot of time. Set that time, open up a Bible, sit there and just be quiet and listen to Him. Get away from all the distractions in life. Don't worry about what you got to do, who's coming over, what's happening, what's going on. Don't worry about any of that. It doesn't matter for that time. Let Him speak to you. Get away from the distractions of life. I hope you have a lovely long weekend. If you are off this weekend, good on you. Guess what? No excuses. Take some time to be silent and have some solitude. Even if it's 10 minutes, just take that time. If you're working, you can find it. There's places you can find it. In that morning, your cup of coffee, just sitting there being quiet and silent. Oh man, I love a little silence and a cup of coffee. Just absorb it and enjoy. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You're doing in our lives, and we thank You that we can recognize that when we haven't spent time with You. And those here in the room, if they're struggling with their relationship with You, I ask that You will give an encouragement to them. I ask that You will help them to want to spend time with You in silence. If we're so busy that we don't have the time to do it, please help us find that time. Please help us carve out that time and make it a regular thing in our life. Not a religious event, but a relational event that we have with You. So lift everyone else here. Bless you as you go in your separate ways in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. Hope to see you next week. Have a great long weekend.